Welcome to Get Over It, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. We have a wonderful little ghostly show tonight. Marie D. Jones is back with us, and she's going to talk to us about her latest book, Celebrity Ghosts and Notorious Hauntings. If you are into this type of thing, this is your book. Okay, because she covers a wide range of places and people, and it's just like riveting. Okay, so you're absolutely going to love it. So we're going to share a little bit of it today. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through the blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back. But you guys know I always ask the question, are you truly ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I'm the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, the Men and Money book, and Masterful Choices, the Key to Easy, Effective Change. I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the fullest. Now, my clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, go to my website, and that's MoniqueChapman.com. And I invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. From old Hollywood silent film stars to rock stars to athletes, past presidents and famous generals, celebrated individuals sometimes become celebrity ghosts, and they haunt their homes, workplaces, and even burial places. In turn, those places become famous, even notorious, thanks to the ghost that is absolutely haunting it. My guest today, Marie D. Jones, is back with us. She is a best-selling author of nonfiction books, novels, and novellas. She has over 23 books in print, and all of them are excellent, by the way, and we've had most of them on this show. She is also a produced screenwriter and independent filmmaker with 2 short films to her credit, and she is... she's published a feature film. Well, she has a feature film, I should say, in the works for 2020. She has her own line of journals and fun coffee mugs, and she's a fully trained disasterness preparedness responder in the San Marcos Fire Department, and she's been on hundreds of TV shows and radio shows, all the big name shows out there. She's been there, done that. And she frequently appears on the History Channel's Ancient Aliens. She lives in San Marcos, California with her wonderful son, Max. And you can check her out at her website, and that's MarieDJones.com. And Maria is a wonderful, wonderful friend to the show, and I welcome her back. Hello, Marie.
Hello there. Good to be back.
Yes, it is. It's so wonderful to have you. Now, written so many books on so many different subjects. I mean, you cover all paranormal, you cover the metaphysical aspect. Why a ghost on Celebrity Ghost? Why a book, I should say, on Celebrity Ghost?
You know, I have to admit that whenever I run out of ideas, I have, I've been working a lot with Visible Ink Press. I absolutely love them. And the publisher, Roger, will often come to me with ideas like, hey, what do you think about writing something like this, which is really cool because, you know, I've written a lot about the paranormal, and I kind of run out of things that either I've already covered or a million of my colleagues have written about. So he said, what do you think about celebrity ghosts? And I thought, oh, that sounds cool, but I doubt there's very many stories. Of course, you know, unbeknownst to me, And it just kind of grew into this celebrity ghost, notorious hauntings that are, that go beyond just the typical haunted house and are famous in their own right. Mm-hmm. And as I was doing all the research and just finding all these really creepy, cool places, it was like, okay, now the big problem is, what do I include and what do I leave out? Because I will tell you, there's probably enough material for two more volumes of this book. It's just so surprising how many stories there are and how many people will then email and say, oh, you didn't cover my town in your book. And they'll tell you about their town. It's like, there's an awful lot of haunted places out there.
There are.
Kind of scary.
Yeah, and you would, some places you wouldn't even think about, and, you know, it's been haunted. But, you know, Hollywood itself, I'm in California, you're in California, so we've kind of got that Hollywood vibe around us. And Hollywood has really glamorized ghosts and the paranormal and all of that. So why don't you tell us what truly is a ghost? Because I think a lot of people have the wrong idea.
I don't think anybody really knows for sure yet. But for the longest time, the paranormal community was very trapped in this sort of tunnel vision of thinking that a ghost is the spirit, excuse me, of a dead person. You know, you die, your consciousness, your spirit, whatever, goes on, but ghosts are the ones that don't cross over. So we've always heard that. But in doing a lot of research over the last 10, 15 years, it's really occurred to me that there are way more different explanations for what we might be seeing. We might be seeing a living, breathing person who is no longer in this universe, but could still exist in a parallel universe, in a parallel timeline, very close to ours. But that would also explain a lot of the historical sightings. Maybe these people aren't really dead, but we're sort of seeing into a different timeline where they still exist. I thought, oh, that's a really cool explanation for when you see ghosts that are wearing Victorian-era clothing, and, you know, or they're still in these old castles, and they haven't left the premises. And then there's also the belief in imprinted energy, residual hauntings, where the sighting of an apparition almost appears like it's on a loop, and the ghost says the same thing over and over, no matter who sees it. And it's not aware it's being observed. It just looks like, you know, when you're watching a movie and you press rewind and you just kind of keep looping the same scene over and over again. Mm-hmm. So there's different types of ghosts we seem to be dealing with.
Okay, so in the book you talk about there's three types of sightings, if you will. You talk about the living ghosts, and you just refer to the imprints and residual ghosts. And then there's also the sentient intelligent ghosts. So could you give a quick overview of the living ghosts and the sentient intelligent ghosts?
So these are the most interesting, because a lot of people report encountering a ghost or an apparition that is aware that they're being observed and possibly can interact with them. They're not always doing the same thing over and over. They seem to be aware of the fact that, you know, we're watching them, but they could also, who knows, on their end, they could be watching us and thinking, oh, look, I'm seeing a ghost. So the sentient intelligent ghosts are interesting because people can communicate with them, and they do seem to have their own story to them, why they're sticking to a certain location. A lot of times you'll get EVP, electronic voice phenomena, where they'll actually speak, say words or phrases. And you don't usually get that with an imprint or residual ghost, because, again, that's kind of like a movie scene that just keeps playing on a loop. It's almost like that energy is embedded in the location. So the intelligent ghosts also seem to be able to act of their own volition. Sometimes you hear about a violent situation where they're moving things. you know, breaking things, scratching. I know a lot of paranormal investigators that have gone into different locations and they've been scratched, pushed, had their hair yanked. I actually had that happen on the Queen Mary, but it was so subtle that I wasn't sure if somebody was really pulling on my hair or, you know, I just my hair got caught in my tongue or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So you hear a lot about that. So those ghosts are aware of us. And we're you know, it's kind of scary. But they're usually not negative or violent. You know, they're usually very sad or tragic situations.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, why is it that ghosts tend to appear or gravitate to places that are either have a lower vibe or it's a sad place? You know, like hospitals, you know, yes, some people get well, but a lot of people die there. Cemeteries, I would think that most people are dead. So when you go to these places that, you know, are kind of like sad, and but you see there's a lot of ghost activity there. Do you know why?
That has always bothered me, and I'll tell you why. To me, I feel like if I died, and I were kind of trapped, or maybe I was in that sort of in-between purgatory state, I would want to go to places and be around people that made me happy.
Mm-hmm.
But so often we hear of those haunting places that they were traumatized or killed or murdered or tortured or, you know, but cemeteries and graveyards, hospitals, asylums, old castles that are still full of history where a lot of people either were murdered or tortured during the witch trials. You hear about that and you think, okay, so we kind of realize that extreme trauma is what traps these ghosts from being set free in mm-hmm. order to go to the light or whatever, be able to cross over. But then, you know, a lot of tragic places like hospitals, working hospitals, you don't usually hear ghost stories come from.
Mm-hmm.
Very rare. I mean, I wasn't able to find a whole lot. I was more able to find ghost reports of places where, you know, they graveyards and cemeteries. But let's think about that. People don't die in graveyards.
Right.
They're buried there, but they've already died somewhere else. So why then are so many of these, especially the celebrity ghosts, are often seen around their grave sites, their mausoleums. You know, a lot mm-hmm. of them had very elaborate mausoleums put up. And so that's always really kind of confused me, and nobody's ever been able to explain, except that it might be because they're trapped in the trauma. There's something that's keeping them trapped in that energetic field.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot, I actually did have somebody say, you know, Marie, it might be that the reason why cemeteries and graveyards are still haunted is because that's the last place where you hang on to your body, your physical
mm-hmm.
being. And maybe for a lot of people upon death, that's so hard for them to let go of. So they're like, no, I'm not going to leave where my body is. Or where my ashes are. But that's a really interesting question that I keep asking myself, because I'd want to be in a happy place.
Yeah, you know, I would too. And the other thing that seems to be on the forefront with ghost sightings is that they seem to come out at night. You can really find them at night. Why not during the day?
I have a feeling they're around 24/7. But, you know, two things. One, at night we're much more vulnerable to sounds and things that we, you know, might not normally see.
Mm-hmm.
During the day, we are so distracted by our jobs, you know, getting kids off to school, taking care of family, what have you, that I think our brains are really not, they're not allowing that information to come through and be processed and perceived. there's a part of the brain called the reticular activating system, and it's at the base of the brainstem. And its function is to filter out billions of bits of information constantly coming at us from everywhere, down to the bare minimum of what we need to be able to survive on a day-to-day basis. And that's a very small amount. So if the RAS doesn't think it's important, it's going to filter it out. And during the day, what's important to us, you know, job, kids, family, our health, whatever we need to do during the day, the chores and laundry and all that stuff. Excuse me. So our brains could literally be filtering the ghostly stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
But then at night, we don't, you know, we don't have all that stuff bombarding us. So our brains are much more likely to be open to the perception of a apparition moving across the room, or sounds and voices and all kinds of things. And I think it's also a lot of it has to do with pop culture. You know, at night we're nervous because it's nighttime, it's scary. And so a lot of the old fairy tales and folklore and horror stories have always been about what happens, things that go bump in the night.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's just a part of our subconscious now that we kind of like, oh, I'm perfectly fine during the day. And yet there could be ghosts all around you. They could be looking over your shoulder when you're on your cell phone or computer. But at night, we sort of lower the veil a little bit. And it allows us to perceive what we filtered out during the day. That's my theory.
Okay, so it's kind of like the witching hour. What is it, like midnight to 1? Or is it 11 to midnight? I forget.
You know, it varies. 11 to 1, 11, some people say 11 to 3 is because your body's going through all kinds of different chemical and hormonal activity. But basically from 11 to 1 or midnight to 1 are the most active times. Well, most of us are asleep.
Except for me, I wake up and I have to pee.
Right, well, yeah, that... Exactly. But if you think about it, you do that, and you just, you know, you just have that little bit of anxiety of, oh, it's dark. And during the day, we feel like that's not the issue. You know, we're just so focused on life that's right in front of our faces. But at night, I think a lot of those left brain walls just kind of fall, and you're able to perceive or sense, if you're sensitive, things that you ignore during the day. I mean, I can't imagine that ghosts operate on the same time clocks and sleep or whatever, but that wouldn't make sense because at night they would be sleeping the same time
right.
they are, you know, unless
right.
they're in a different time zone, but who knows?
Yes.
There's so many questions that we have still about just ghosts, and that's not including a whole lot of other paranormal activity. So,
yeah, and you know what, Marie? I don't want anybody coming to explain it to me from the other side. I'll wait.
I know, me too.
Yeah, I'm chicken that way. Yes, I am. Well, folks are speaking.
I am the biggest chicken, and I get so many people think that that's funny because they assume if you write about this stuff, you're like, oh yeah, so gung ho. And I am the biggest chicken there is. I sleep usually with the TV on, which I know is part of my insomnia problem. I cannot be in a pitch dark room. I hyperventilate. I've had awful nightmares since I was very young. So I have this dread fear of the dark. And people say, oh, let's go ghosting and come with us. And I've gone on quite a few, but a lot of times it's like, no. You let me know what you find.
Yeah. Have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Send
me
some pictures. EVP, but you go.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it, too, is the power of suggestion for people like us. If, you know, we're a little chicken. that power of suggestion can be so strong that mm-hmm. we end up talking ourselves into seeing something.
It's funny you bring that. Well, first of all, folks, we're speaking with Marie Jones. She's the author of Celebrity Ghost and Notorious Hauntings. You can check her out at her website, and that's mariedjones.com. You know, Marie, it's interesting you bring that up because I was in 10th grade, had an exchange student come out. She came from Chile. And we were invited to a party with friend's house. And I grew up in Gilderland, New York, and went to Gilderland High School. And our mascot was the Flying Dutchman. So let's put all this in context. And actually, it was a Dutch ship on a ring with a red background. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment. So these kids wanted to have a seance. And so I was a little nervous, but I'm like, okay. So I sat down in a group, and then they wanted to channel Martin Luther King Jr., who had died not too long before.
And oh, my gosh.
So if he comes through, since I'm the only black person here, he's going to come through me. I got up. I'm like, no, I'm not having any of
that. Yeah. None of that. No, I'm not into the seance kind of channeling.
Yeah. But it's interesting how, you know, we can create, and they thought they had created something. Now, there was a gentleman, Dr. Owen, in 1972, who created his own ghost through basically a thought former. Is it TULPA? T-U-L-P-A?
TULPA is one word for a spectral, apparition or entity that can be created with collective thought or collective intention. Mm-hmm. The Philip experiment. There's actually been a few, and a lot of them I hadn't heard about till later, that people getting together to try to literally use the power of the mind, the power of suggestion, the power of collective intention, to create a thought form that can actually take on, a physical nature. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting about that is it could really explain a lot of paranormal phenomena, because you know, when you have groups that go to a quote-unquote haunted location or mm-hmm. a place that's been abandoned or has a traumatic history attached to it, you have to wonder, well, was it originally haunted to begin with? Or is just the fact that it's old and abandoned and scary looking enough to have started a sort of chain reaction where you have one group go in, and because they expect the place to be haunted, because it's old and it's abandoned and it's scary, that they actually manifest one of these thought forms. And then that kind of goes viral with the next several groups that go in. And before you know it, you have one of these, notorious haunted locations that is being investigated on TV by different ghost hunting groups, and everybody knows, and they even have tours, they have public tours that you can go on. Mm-hmm. I've always wondered about that. Are we responsible for a lot of this? I mean, we are the observer, and we do have some control over what it is we're observing. So we could be co-creating a lot of this phenomena.
That's very interesting. Well, I want to talk about Hollywood for a minute, because there's a lot of activity going on down there. You talk about the zip code 90210, the Beverly Hills area down there, and you say there's a little Bermuda Triangle in that area. Tell us about that area. Why so much activity between those streets? And people, you can read the book to find out which streets.
So all of Hollywood... Anywhere you go where there's history, there's a lot of hauntings. But what makes Hollywood so special is that celebrities, we all feel like we know them, right? We feel like we grew up with them. We know their history. We know who they're having sex with and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So that's why celebrity hauntings are the most interesting, the most fun. And a lot of the old studios, a lot of the sound stages are haunted. There's haunted hotels. There's haunted restaurants, cafes, etc. But I came across, I had this one gal that I had actually known from, I was on her radio show, Claire Weaver, who said, have you ever heard about the Beverly Hills Triangle? And I thought, no. I've heard about the Bermuda. I've heard about the one in Japan, the Devil's Triangle, the Great Lakes. So apparently there is a part of Beverly Hills, and I'll give you the states. The triangle is bordered by North Linden Drive, Lomitas Avenue, and Whittier Drive in the 90210 famous zip code. There are large mansions. There's an exclusive country club. It's just an absolutely gorgeous area. But apparently there have been a high number of strange incidences dating back into the 1930s, accidents. Howard Hughes apparently was, at the time when he was a film producer, he had a penchant for planes, and he was making a movie called Hell's Angels. And there was an accident when he piloted the test flight. The aircraft that he was working with lost altitude. It attempted to land on the country club golf course, but instead smashed into a row of houses. So it destroyed three homes, lit fire to a fourth. There were he was very seriously injured, but there were a lot of injuries. The next year, Bugsy Siegel, the infamous New York gangster, who was in that area at the time, the mob actually sent him there to sort of set up a gambling racket. And he was, the night of June 20th, 1947, he and his girlfriend were sitting around, he was reading the Los Angeles Times, and he was shot twice in the head, and the address was 801 North Linden Drive, which has itself become a real sort of fun, haunted location that people like to go to. This is also the general location of the Dead Man's Curve car accident that Jan Berry sang about. Let's see what else. Oh my gosh, he actually survived that accident, but he was left brain damaged. In 2010, publicist Ronnie Chasson was shot four times in her car at the intersection of Whittier Drive and Sunset Boulevard, which is in that same general area. Who else? I think that was the last, but that was plenty. So just that general area during the sort of heyday of Hollywood, just so much negative energy, like it was some kind of vortex or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, we hear a lot about places all over the world where there's sort of like paranormal hotspots where a lot of stuff happens. You see UFOs, ghosts, cryptid sightings, mysterious disappearances, or too many accidents or murders to be coincidental. It's almost like there are these little pockets of creepy negative energy out there.
Yeah, it can be quite very interesting. And you also talk about in your book about Howard Hughes and how he haunts the Pantages Theater. But the guy who built the Pantages Theater doesn't seem to haunt it, but, you know, I guess Howard took over, huh?
Another really strange thing is who haunts where. It's almost as if, like, a lot of the old theaters and movie studio sound stages, many of which have been rebuilt and renovated, there's certain actors or celebrities in the past that just seem to, like, not be able to let go. Like, those were their favorite places to be. You hear that a lot with the musicians and people like Elvis Presley, even, and Marilyn Monroe, where they favored, like, Marilyn favored the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel, which was a place that a lot of famous celebrities stayed in. Clark Gable, Montgomery Clift, you know, these old stars, a lot of the young people, like, who?
Look at that.
So she's one. Yeah, she seemed to like to stay there. And the ghost is seen. There's also seen in other places, but Elvis Presley, he's seen a lot at the RCA studio in Nashville where he recorded, and the Hilton Hotel that he played at in Vegas. And he's one of the few that is seen in places that he seemed to enjoy, that made him happy. So it kind of runs the gamut. You know, you have a lot of others that, like Thelma Todd, you know, she, her ghost is seen at the house she was either murdered in or committed suicide. The jury is still out on that.
Yeah.
So it just really depends on, you know, Orson Welles loved to haunt the restaurant that he used to love to hang out at, which is now a bakery. And people say that they can see him, or they can smell cigars, or they hear, you know, thinking of a, his brandy glass at the little table he used to sit at. So it's almost like the sightings are as individual as the ghosts are.
Well, it's really quite interesting. Now, you also talk about different movie sets that are haunted, like Batman itself is cursed, basically, because what, Heath Ledger died, Morgan Freeman exited and got a divorce, and there are a few other things. It's like mind-blowing that, you know, all of these places where we think greatness occurred and that it's absolutely wonderful, but they're truly haunted.
Well, yeah, and a lot of them also, they may not necessarily be haunted per se by a ghost, but they are almost like these, you know, negative vortexes that attract accidents, premature deaths, like Poltergeist, you know, the little girl that Heather O'Rourke that starred in Poltergeist. So you have these weird events that occur. In the Exorcist movie, there were 9 different deaths associated with the making of that film. So they may not be ghosts, but they're just like, I don't even, you know, they're cursed. I was going to say they're like streaks of bad luck, but I think the cursed might be a better word. A lot of people don't realize that even a movie like The Matrix.
Exactly.
You know, poor Keanu Reeves, he lost his girlfriend. She gave birth to a stillborn child during the filming, then died later in an accident. Aleah died in a tragic plane crash. Gloria Foster died during filming. Keanu himself had a very bad motorcycle accident. So just like a string of really bad luck. And then you had the actual movie studios that seem to be haunted, you know, certain sound stages and old studios, even like Charlie Chaplin's studio, Universal Studios, Stage 28, Culver Studios. One of the most famous Paramount Pictures has a number of sound stages, Stage 29, Stage 31, the most famous being Stage 19. And that's where the ghost of Heather O'Rourke can be has been reported. She's the child that died in Poltergeist. So there's the Raleigh Studios. I mean, we're talking about places that have been open since the early 1900s. So we kind of would expect them to have, you know, not only a number of people that died in there, or associated with the studios, but they're mostly celebrities. So, of course, people are more attracted to that because we love our celebrities.
Yeah, well, you know, folks, pay attention to where you're at and the history of where you're at.
Uh-oh, did I lose you?
No, I'm here. Hello?
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 I'm here.
Oh, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can now. I think a ghost kind of interfered with me.
Oh, no. Well, I'm going to talk about this anyway. Culver City, down there, you mentioned Culver Studios. Culver City, the whole area is freaking haunted. I've had so many clients have me come down and do a cleansing, and I'm like, you know, you're better off moving. I recently had mentioned my oldest son moved down that area, not in Culver City. And a friend of his moved into Culver City, and they said they were laying on the bed, and this movie star, they don't know who it was, but they know it was a movie star, came in, just appeared through the wall and looked at them, and it scared them so much that they wanted to move. But I told them what to do in the house, and the movie star came back, but then it just disappeared and has never been there again. But that whole area of Culver City seems to be a lot of activity going on there, I should say.
So I've not heard of that. I'm kind of curious, like, what, you know, was it old Indian burial ground or graveyards that they built everything on? It's like, you know, why Culver City and not down on Melrose by Paramount? But also, it's not a specific building in Culver City. It's a number of different things.
Yeah, it seems to be a whole area.
Yeah, and it's always made me wonder, too, about things like seismic activity. So, or things that are going on underground, if there's underground water sources and there's water movement, and are there certain places where what's going on environmentally is allowing more paranormal activity to kind of seep through? Because, you know, you wonder, well, why, like Superstition Mountain or the Bermuda Triangle, or, well, we know that has a lot to do with the different weather conditions that create electromagnetic field anomalies. But Culver City?
Yeah, I mean, you know, who would have thought, right?
Yeah. So, you know, if my dad were still alive, I would ask him, hey, is there any major fault lines under Culver City? And maybe, you know, the movement that we don't perceive if there's not a big earthquake. I wonder if anybody's ever mapped that out. Like seismic activity, underground water sources.
Like a paranormal gap or something there. Well, you know, it was interesting. The first client that called me from there, she's very much into, you know, this and what we're talking about. And she was telling me, well, the clothes in the backyard, they were on the clothesline, but they're off the clothesline and they're flying around by themselves. And I'm like,
oh my God.
No, but then her husband on the phone, who believes none of this. And he goes, I need to let you know, I don't believe in any of this, but this is what happened. And he talked about the clothes flying around the backyard.
So that's when you know there's something going on, when you got the diehard skeptics like, you know what? I saw it. That's scary.
Yeah,
Wow.
That was quite interesting. I'm ever so grateful that the clothes did not fly for me.
Yeah. That's like, you're in a really bad spot there where they call you for help and it's like, oh, no.
Yeah, it's like, well, I really didn't want to come.
Yeah, I'm busy, sorry.
Yeah.
But that's part of what I loved about this book, is that after it came out, you know, being bombarded with people telling me stories of places like you just did, where it's like, oh, I wish I would have known that. Mm-hmm. And there's just so many really, like, urban legends. Same thing with that, how every town, every community, every region has not only its own haunted places and haunted streets and freeways and blah, 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 but they also have their own urban legends, and a lot of them are similar, like the lady in white that everybody sees. She's crying, wearing her flowing white clothing, or the hitchhiker, right? The hitchhiker on the side of the road who you pull up to help and the person disappears. Those urban legends are found in so many different communities, you know, people that I talk to. Oh, yeah, we have Our Lady in White, and I have one here where I live in the San Marcos area. So when I first came to San Marcos, so San Diego County is huge, and the northern part of the county is, we consider ourselves a separate county. We're North County, you know, we're not a part of San Diego, but we are. So when we first moved to North County, it was very rural. I mean, this was quite a while ago. San Marcos was all agricultural farms and whatnot. And since then, it's the fastest growing city in California. mm-hmm. which tells you how quickly things progress. So anyway, I moved to an area called La Costa, and I had heard about this lady in white who haunted the woods in an area that leads up to a place called Quest Haven. Quest Haven, and I've been there many times, absolutely beautiful Christian ministry that's open to the public for hiking, and it's just beautiful, very rural. So I don't know, I just one day decided I'm going to get in my car, and I'm going to go find the lady, see if I could see the lady in white. Mm-hmm. It was during the day, so I was feeling pretty bold. And I got in my car, and I drove. It was a dirt road at the time. Now it's quite built up. And I drove into this area, which was very close to where I lived, but totally rural, out in the woods. And I'm driving. It's getting darker. Now, when I left, it was perfectly clear out, sunny, typical Southern California day.
Mm-hmm.
I get to a certain point, and I'm deep in the woods, and all of a sudden it starts pouring rain. And there's like a obstruction, so I can't go forward. So I realize I have to back out. Well, I couldn't get my car to back up. I was like stuck in the mud. I mean, we're talking massive amounts of rain, which just doesn't happen here.
Right.
So I started to panic. I felt like something was coming closer. I just had that awful sense. And I'm kind of a sensitive. I'm more sensitive to energy. I don't see things, but mm-hmm. I sense their presence. And I just felt like something really bad was about to happen, and I'm panicking. This was way before cell phones existed. Crying, finally turned my wheel and somehow got the car out of the mud, turned around, hightailed it out of there, top speed.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to the main road, it was clear. There were no clouds, And the only wet car was mine. Nobody else's cars were wet. So I didn't see the lady in white. I don't know if she was coming towards me, but that was certainly something that I didn't want to happen again. And the only other time I ever went out there was later when it had been developed and there's houses. And there's still some woods, but mm-hmm. that particular area is gone. And people still claim that they see the lady in white up closer to where Quest Haven is. I have not felt the need to go by myself. I think once is enough. But those are the kind of things that have happened to me. The Hotel Del Coronado
mm-hmm.
in San Diego, one of the most notoriously haunted places on the planet. And I've been there several times as a tourist.
Mm-hmm.
Never seen anything. But the very first time I ever went there, I was a child, and we had flown out from New York to spend time with my grandparents who lived out here. We went to the Hotel Del, and we were on the tour, and there was a section that was cut off from with caution tape because they were renovating. Mm-hmm. And I remember looking in a gift shop window and kind of getting close to the caution tape, and I started to feel like I was going to throw up, like I was going to faint. I felt dizzy. I felt awful. I moved away from the area, and I felt better. And as we're on the tour woman points out, she says, well, down that hallway, we're renovating. But you don't want to go down there anyway, because that's where such and such a murder occurred. And I thought, oh, okay. So those are the kind of things that I deal with, you know, not going into a room because it feels repulsive. And then finding mm-hmm. out later that somebody was murdered there. Those are my experiences.
Yeah, that's always my interesting observation when I stay in a hotel. I try to feel out the energy to see what happened in there. Because I remember several years ago, and I don't remember the hotel in Vegas, but they rented the room to a couple. And the woman kept smelling something, you know, that she didn't appreciate. And you know, they went around the room. They couldn't find anything. The husband looked under the bed, and there was a body there.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. I would never stay in another hotel room.
Period. Right?
My God.
Yeah. Yeah. So that you know, that makes me just feel things out, you know. And go ahead.
I think there are two different kinds of people. Well, maybe three. So one, you have sensitives, which I think, you know, we're probably like that, where we sense, don't go there, don't go down this alley, don't do that, don't, you know, get on this plane. Then there are people that are visual, that see things. They see the apparitions. They see the ghosts. They see the clothes flying around off the clothesline. And then I think there's the third group, which are people that just never have anything happen to them. I don't know, somehow their brains are just closed off to that. Mm-hmm. But I've had people say, well, you've never seen a ghost? And no, but I am pretty sure that I have sensed other presences, that I've, you know, been repulsed by places that had I gone in, I probably might have seen one. But luckily, my, you know, sensitivity, as I've been that way since I was a child, said, oh, no, you don't want to go in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that could have blocked me from seeing something physically, visually.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to see physically, visually. I just don't. It's enough to know. I don't need to see.
That's how I feel, too. It's like, I know they're there. I trust you. People, your millions of people are not lying. I'm really interested in the science behind it, you know, what causes this to happen and where they come, that kind of stuff. Because my father, he was a geophysicist, but he was very much into the paranormal, especially UFOs. But he would always say, you know, even with ghosts, there's a science behind these things. We just don't know what it is yet. And I always felt like, well, that's what I love to read about, research, and write about. I don't need to see them. Mm-hmm. I will never sleep again. That's just because my mind, my imagination, as yours probably, will just take it and run with it.
Yes, and it opens up to even more things that you, you know, don't necessarily want to see. I mean, I can see sometimes, like the... the beings that, you know, well, we call them beings, but they're not from Earth, and they show up. I can see them from time to time, although I would really prefer not to see them.
Yeah.
Them energetically and help them along someplace else. But folks, realize sometimes you're living in a haunted house, and that's just the way it is. You know, there's no ghosts go away. You're not comfortable. It's important for you to get up and leave. Marie, before I let you go, three places I want to talk about: Denver International Airport, Notre Dame, and Penn State.
Oh my gosh! Okay, I've got to find these locations because there's so many in here.
Yeah, no, folks, she has over, I think it's 220 different stories.
All right, we'll start with Notre Dame because that was that was one of them, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I covered haunted colleges, elementary schools, high schools, universities. So apparently Notre Dame, founded in 1842. It's considered a football campus, as a lot of sports people know. Very rich history. In 1881, a construction worker fell off the roof to his death and apparently haunts the building, along with a music student who can be heard playing the French horn at night when there's nobody else around.
Wow.
But the most famous, of course, is George Gipp, who became the Gipper, went for the Gipper. He was the football hero, died in 1920 of pneumonia after winning the biggest victory of his career. And everybody loved him. He would often play when he was injured. And the famous coach, Newt Rockne, was the one who gave that first "Let's go out and win one for the Gipper" speech at halftime that now has become widely known.
Right.
But not a lot of people know who the Gipper was.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first time I found out, too, which shows you that writers learn through their own research. Okay, so let's get to Penn State.
Well, Penn State is probably...
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say Penn State, you know, haunted. Just be aware, people, where you go. Well, what about the airports? And you don't necessarily have to focus on Denver in particular, but why would an airport be haunted?
Well, let's see. You know, this is a problem I have when people say, oh, tell me about Hotel West. Okay, let me look it up. Hang on.
Uh-huh.
So obviously airports where there have been a lot of crashes, you know, they're going to have a lot of, there was a lot of trauma, a lot of negative energy, a lot of people died. So we do expect airfields. A lot of planes crash on takeoff and landing. So we do have a lot of haunted air flights, airports. Denver is kind of weird, though. So Denver was supposedly built upon, and we joke about this, but it's very true, Native American burial grounds. And apparently the airport staff has actually even used Native American chants to try to put the spirits at ease. This was done in 1995 when they actually asked tribal leaders to come in. And you know, almost it's like a Native American exorcism. So one of the main ghosts is Luis Jimenez, I think it's pronounced, who haunts a sculpture that sits on a hill just south of the airport. He actually died while he was creating it in 1992. People that take a picture of this, and I'll describe the sculpture in a minute because it sounds terrifying, can often see him in the picture. And from the start, the whole sculpture thing, the building and constructing it, seems to have been cursed. It is a 32-foot-tall, illuminated, cobalt-blue, red-eyed Mustang horse that has been nicknamed Lucifer, like Blue Lucifer. So apparently Jimenez was trapped beneath the 9,000-pound sculpture when it fell from a hoist. It literally just landed on top of him. He bled to death and he died. So his ghost is seen a lot. But also, what makes this airport stand out is that there are a number of, I guess you could call them, conspiracy theories about what goes on in underground tunnels beneath the airport. One theory is that, you know, they're end-of-the-world housing for the New World Order or wealthy and elite people. There's been a lot of unusual artwork that is around the airport itself, showing apocalyptic scenes, battles between good and evil, just Masonic symbols, and just a real dark sort of sinister atmosphere. But these, the artwork appears in the airport. I've never been there and I've never seen it, but apparently it's associated with these tunnels below the airport. So it's got a lot of unusual stuff associated with it. There's other airfields that, you know, are just haunted because a plane crashed there. It's pretty cut and dried.
Well, you know what, Marie? We're getting close to the end of our time. And as I'm sitting here, and I have a wonderful floor-to-ceiling window in my home office, our bird just flew into the window, so I think it's time to go.
Oh, that's a good note. Let's take that as a positive.
Sure. It didn't come inside. It bounced off the window, and it's out there sputtering a little bit. But
Oh, ouch.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought it just flew up and said hello, but no, that's not
No. So if they make it inside, folks, not necessarily good news. And this is a true story before I let you go. My father owned a chain of dry cleaning stores in Albany, New York, before he passed away. And at the plant, you know, the major one where all the work is done, for whatever reason, where was Dad? Dad was in the hospital, actually. So I was running the plant, and I happened to be there by myself because it was past 2 o'clock and the workers were gone and everything. And this bird, this pigeon, flew into the cleaners. And I'm definitely afraid of birds. So the bird flew in the back door. I ran out the front door. So I went next door to a restaurant where Donnie, the owner, was. And I told him what happened. And I said, help me, help me. So he came over and he checked it out. And he said it must have flown back out because, you know, I can't find a bird. So I'm like, I'm okay. I mean, I closed early, locked the doors, went to the hospital to see my dad. So I was telling my dad what happened, and he goes, oh, my goodness. And I said, what? And he goes, I'm going to die. And I said, come on, Dad. I said, you know, you're here. And he goes, no. He goes, when a bird enters into a property, the owner dies. I'm like, uh-huh, okay. And you know what? Within 3 weeks, he was dead.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
Yeah.
That's scary. Okay, yeah. Never mind. I don't like birds anymore.
Yeah, so no birds in the house. I mean, if you have it as a pet, that's one thing. But no, for
birds,
it's normally an outside bird to come in. Not necessarily good news. And I've talked to 4 other people who have had something similar. So, folks, don't let that happen. Don't let the bird in the house.
Yeah, do not. That's like the black-eyed kids. Don't let them in.
Yeah, and we're going to go out and we're going to cleanse the area in front of my office.
Wow. Yeah, definitely.
Make sure whatever energy goes away. But, Marie, I certainly have enjoyed our conversation today and our time. And, folks, the book is Celebrity Ghosts and Notorious Hauntings. You'll love it. She talks about just about any and everybody. Okay, even stars of today like Demi Lovato and Ariana Grande. And again, you have to read the book to see what she says about them. But if you're at all interested in this subject matter, you will love this book. So, Marie, thank you so much for being with me today. I greatly appreciate it.
Oh, it has been a pleasure as always.
Okay, great. And folks, to the audience, thank you also. The divine in me honors the divine in you, and I truly appreciate your time and attention. And when you're ready to raise your vibration and shift your energy, you can give me a call. Intuitive consultations, 30 minutes or longer, are offered at a 10% discount if you mention the podcast. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself and make that call, 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of love. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.